we go. Turn to John chapter 10, the Gospel of John. What are you looking for, babe? Did you lose your Bible?
I found the word.
Okay. John chapter 10. I thought about this because we're sitting through the class and it makes, you know, so emphatic about it. And it's a great verse and it says so much. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the thief, of course, refers to the devil, right? And he comes to steal and kill and to destroy. That's what he does. You know, a big thing about learning about God and about life is, you know, that there are two spiritual powers in the world, right? There's God and there's the devil, and they're always at odds, and he's always trying to steal from us the word of God. So, then it goes on to say, I am come, that's Jesus Christ, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And, you know, when I first heard this verse and heard it taught, I really didn't understand it, but I said, oh, yeah, I want an abundant life. You know, but it was all a material sense knowledge abundance. And certainly as we walk on the word and as we obey God, we may see, you know, a material abundance and a physical abundance. But what's greater is the spiritual abundance that God makes available. You know, that abundance in life is that we have spirit life. You know, they were talking before about well, Jay and John both prayed about, you know, we're not, we're a peculiar people or we're an anomaly. But, you know, in reality, that's what God intended us to be, and that was what was to be normal, not the world, you know. The world is common. As they're not normal, they're common. You know, there's a difference, and if you understand what common means in the Bible, it was, you know, the everyday run-of-the-mill garbage, and his people were to be holy. They were to walk before him in holiness and truth. So it says here that he came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Well, when we get born again, you know, the abundance that we have is, you know, when we're born and we have body and soul, right? And we have soul life. And when we get born again, we have spirit. We have spirit life. And that's certainly more abundant than soul life because it's eternal life. So that's, abundance almost isn't even enough to describe it. It's a great thing. But, you know, it's interesting if you read through the Gospels, Jesus Christ, you know, if you think, if you thought about, you were on a safari I read a book recently about Teddy Roosevelt, and he took this trip through one of these uncharted rivers off the Amazon and how they had to get through the jungle and all this stuff, and they didn't know where they were or what to expect. And, you know, it just, I think if you were in a trip like that, but Jesus Christ is the leader. He's the guide. He knows the way. That's really what he did for us. He cut through all the crap of life and made a clear path for us to travel. That's what he did for us. And he made it available for us to have a relationship with God and to see God clearly. He came to make known God, to declare God, you know, like never before. You know, the understanding they had about God in the Old Testament was completely changed when Jesus Christ came and preached the word, because for the first time he spoke of God as his Father and having a personal relationship with him and made it available for all of us to do the same thing. What a great thing. That's, you know, that's real abundance of life. You know, in the Old Testament, very few people had that real close, intimate, vital personal relationship with God. You know, they followed along. They followed the priests and the prophets. You know, and they did the law. But we have God in us. We can pray to him. We have a direct connection. Amazing. Let's go to 2 Timothy. You know, so as you grow up, I guess, or as you live, we all aspire to something. Now, when you're a kid, you aspire to a lot of stupid things, maybe. I don't know what girls aspire to, but when I was a kid, you know, I thought the greatest thing would ever be to be would be a baseball player or something like that. I look at it today and I think, well, that's kind of stupid. And, you know, actually, when I was raising my boys, I was hoping that none of them would be good enough to be a baseball player because it's such a wacky, perverted life. Make a lot of money, but most of the athletes end up broke and unhappy because, you know, you go through it and by the time you're 35, you're a has-been, you know, and so you're always living on your past, which is kind of a weird way to live, isn't it? So anyway, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. So I thought, you know, the life that God gives us, this is the best life we could live if we follow that example of Jesus Christ. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God or is what? God-breathed, yeah. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for how to believe rightly. For reproof, tells us when we're not believing rightly. For correction, tells us how to get back to believing rightly. For, or which is, instruction in right living. That's what it really is talking about. It's instruction in how to live rightly. You know, again, it's amazing. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And we know that, you know, when it speaks here about the man of God, it's you know, it's someone that stands for God, that speaks for God. Now, certainly it's when we refer to the man of God or a man of God, it refers to prophets and people like that. But anytime we speak the word of God or we take a stand for God, we are a man or a woman of God. And that word does perfect us in right living so that we are equipped and furnished unto good works. You know, what are good works? Doing the works of God, right? It's not going to the soup kitchen and feeding the homeless necessarily, unless God would say, go to the soup kitchen and feed the homeless, or collecting for the heart fund, or setting up a house for the homeless, or helping troubled kids. Any of those things are great, but they're not necessarily important unless God tells you to do it and there would be a godly prophet. You know, you would meet somebody and get them born again, or you would deliver somebody, or you would help somebody. Now, I'm not against any of those things, and I'm thankful for the people that do them. But there's a higher calling. There's a greater calling, and that is to speak God's word and to stand for God. God gave his word so that we could be equipped, completely and totally equipped, to do good works, to do godly works, to do the things that God would have us to do. It's pretty great. You see, that's why we are equipped. You know, we have Holy Spirit so that we can walk with him, right? So that we can be connected. You know, one of the great things that we learn early on, and if you really grasp and understand what it's all about, you know, we have Holy Spirit. And every time we speak in tongues, we know that we're born again, that we're God's children, that we're going to heaven. And when we read the word, we know that the word, we have confidence that the word is absolutely the truth. It is the word of God, so that we know that we know that we know. You know, whatever God says is true and that we can depend on it. We can rely on it. You know, what a great way to live. Because very few people in the world really live like that. Very few people have that kind of assurance. Very few people have that kind of joy and confidence and peace in their lives. But, you know, if you just zero in on that, if you really understand that, man, that takes away a heavy burden, you know? Why do people in religions throughout the world have to work so hard to get eternal life or get, you know, whatever they aspire to? You know, if you're a Hindu, it's to go to the next level. So you get nirvana. And if you're, I don't know what else all these other people do. If you're a Muslim, get to heaven and have 70 virgins. I don't know what that's all about. But, you know, what if you're a girl? You don't want to go to heaven and have 70 virgins. So what do they get? You know, it's kind of weird. So it says here that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, you know. And that word is totally equipped as a ship ready for the sea. And that doesn't mean as much to us today as it did back when this was written, because when they went out in a ship on the open water, they had to be really prepared for everything because they didn't have a motor to push them where they needed to go. They had to depend on the wind, and if it wasn't so strong, it would take them longer. And they didn't have a radio if they got in trouble, so the Coast Guard couldn't rescue them, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So they had to be, when they talked about being fully equipped, if you read about how they would stock a ship for a journey, you know, the sailors didn't sleep down below decks. They slept on the deck because underneath there was food and water and the freight, whatever they were carrying. So they slept out in the open so that, you know, they could, you know, fill the ship up with whatever they needed. It was packed to packed to the gills. It was filled to overflowing with what they needed. Well, we are equipped. We are fully and completely equipped for life, for whatever God would have us to do, whatever we do as we stand for God and speak for God. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And you know, this is really the definition of a good life, of a more abundant life, that you are doing what God would have you to do. You're fully equipped unto good works. You know, God didn't fully equip us and give us his word so that we could be billionaires. He didn't give us his word so that we could be opera singers or great athletes or... Now, there's nothing wrong with doing any of those things. There's nothing wrong with having a great business or being a professional or doing a job well. As a matter of fact, if we do them, we should do them to the best of our ability, to the glory of God. But the real equipped unto good works is to do for God, to speak God's word, to be a witness for God and for Jesus Christ. In chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy." Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. So we're to abhor evil. Evil would be stuff that goes against God's word, right? That would be to shudder with disdain or to hate. That's what that word abhor means. It means to shudder in horror. You know, you're just like taken back by how bad it is. And we are to cleave unto that which is good. Well, what's good? By definition, in the Word of God, it's godly stuff, right? We're to cling to the Word and the things of God. And that word cleave is to be glued or cemented to, you know, stuck to. You know, like the song, "Stuck on You, Babe." You know, we're stuck on good. We're stuck on God. We're stuck on the things of God. Yeah. Okay, verse 17, it says, "Recompense." Then it goes on, it says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." We're not into that. We don't look to get revenge when somebody does wrong to us. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." As much as lieth within you. You know, that it may be impossible. You know, if somebody attacks you physically, you have to defend yourself, don't you? if somebody's doing something horrible, you may have to do what's right. But as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. So if somebody insults you, what do? Oh, God bless you. Have a great day. And then it says in verse 19, well, dearly is not in there, but beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give play, unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, God will take care of the situation. So if somebody gives you a hard time or does something, you know, you just say, God bless you, and walk away, and then God will even it up. And then it says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. In so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, we are equipped to do good. We're not equipped to do evil. We're not fully equipped to do evil. We're fully equipped to do good works. We're fully equipped to do the things of God. And that's where the real greatness of life occurs. You know, when we're standing for God, speaking for God, living for God, glorifying God and his Son, Jesus Christ, in everything we do. You know, that's the good life. That's the way we're supposed to do it. When we do his word, we're doing good works, right? When we do what he wants us to do. You know, we're supposed to do the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, God's will is always good. God's will is always perfect. And that's what we're equipped to do. You know, he didn't give us Holy Spirit so that we could go to the racetrack and he could give us the winning horse. Some people would like to think that. But that's not what he gave us Holy Spirit for, is it? He gave us Holy Spirit to walk with him. He gave us Holy Spirit so that we could bless the church. He gave us Holy Spirit so that we could minister to people. He gave us Holy Spirit so that we could be assured in every situation, in every circumstance, that he's there for us, that Jesus Christ paid the price so that we have full and total access to him. What a great thing. When we are doing good, when we are doing God's will, we are always fully equipped to do the job, no matter what you think. You know, you think about Jeremiah. In the beginning of Jeremiah, he talks about how the angel came to him and he called him and he said, me? Not me. And the angel delivered the message from God. It says he took the coals and he put them on his lips, meaning he purged his lips to make them clean. And he said, you know, I'll give you the words. I'll instruct you. I'll help you. When Moses spoke to the burning bush, right? When God spoke to him out of the burning bush, he called him to go to Israel to redeem them from slavery. And Moses' first reaction was, I can't do that. And what did God say? I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to take care of you. I'll give you all the things that you need to do the job. And then he does a few miracles for him, right? He says, throw your staff on the ground. It turns into a snake. And then he says, put your hand in your robe. And he puts it in, and he takes it out, and it's leprous. And then he puts it back in, takes it out, and he's healed. You know, he did all these things just to show him. Well, in the New Testament, we have Holy Spirit. We can speak in tongues, which is the miracle of the new birth. What a great thing. We are equipped, but we're not equipped. It's not equipped so that you can be the next Joe DiMaggio or Babe Ruth. It's equipped to be a son or a daughter of God, to do the things of God. Now, along the way, if you're doing that, you might really get blessed, you know. You know, God will prosper you. God will bless you in all kinds of ways that you can't even imagine, right? As you go to work and you're an example and a witness for God and for Jesus Christ, you know, and we excel in life, not just because we want to be big shots, but because we love God. But we're equipped to do the good works. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Woohoo! We're not to be weary in well-doing. Did you ever get tired sometimes? We all get tired at times. We all get exhausted. But we're not to be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. You know, you're going to get blessed if you don't faint, if you don't cave in, if you don't give up. You know, you may do some good stuff, and you may be working along and doing stuff for God for years and not see any, you know, any fruit. You may not, you know, see anything tangible. But if you don't faint, God says you'll reap. You'll see it. It'll come. And that's just, I've seen that many times in my life where I've worked and I've worked and I've worked and I've worked and done things and not saw any results. And then all of a sudden, it's just there, you know? The least, when I least expect it, it all of a sudden, things happen. Goes on in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity. You know what? We have so many opportunities. It's ridiculous. But as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith or the household of believing. We're to be especially good unto the household of faith, those that believe, the body of Christ. We're to be especially good. We're to do good to all. Why? Because it's a good witness. We're to be kind and loving and forgiving and, you know, heaping coals of fire upon their head, right? Just like it said in Romans. But especially good unto the household of faith. And you know what? When we're especially good, again, we are what? Fully equipped to do it. We're fully equipped to do what is necessary to help other believers. God will give us what we need. He'll show us what to do. He'll give us the information we need to get. He'll give us the wisdom on how to use it. The Word of God equips us by telling us what it is that is good and right, by assuring us that God backs up His Word, and by letting us know of the power we have within us. That's what He does. And when we do our best to do His will, He empowers us to give us answers and to do what we need to do and how to do it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I never thought about this verse in this way before, but 2 Corinthians chapter 9 just kind of hit me in the face. We'll start in verse 6. Chapters 8 and 9 is about giving and receiving, right? But look what it says. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, verse 6, chapter 9, verse 6, but he that soweth, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to what? Every good work. So why does he want us to abound? So we can bless the body of Christ, so that we can do the works of God, not so we can buy a Lamborghini, not so we can live in a palatial estate and have servants and chefs. And he wants to bless us so that we can abound to what? Every good work. You know, so we can bless the body of Christ. And now, does that say that you can't have nice stuff? No, it doesn't. You know, it's nice to have a nice, dependable car that you can drive in. It's nice to have a nice, warm, comfortable home in the wintertime and a cool house in the summertime and a place where you can bless people. I don't, you know, but it's so that we can abound to every good work. You know, what's a good work? It's do the things of God That's what it's all about. We are equipped so we can speak the word, hold forth the word, live the word, bless people. That's what good is. You know, good work is, you know, Jesus Christ said, I do the works of my Father who sent me. Right? Colossians chapter 1. Says in verse 9, we're going to go to verse 9 of Colossians. You know, so what is the more abundant life? What is that the man of God may be fully equipped unto every good work? You know, it's all about that spiritual walk with God. It's all about living for God. It's, you know, God will never let us down when we're doing what he wants us to do. Now, if you're doing what you want to do, I can't speak for God. I only know what he assures us of. He assures us that when we're doing his work, he's going to take care of us. He's going to support us. He's going to supply our every need. That's what I know. I can't speak to the stock market and all the other stuff. Chapter 1, verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, God's desire, their prayer for those people was that they were filled with knowledge, you know, which is epigenosis, which is, you know, a full and complete knowledge. Filled with, pleroo, filled to capacity, and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the word understanding is sunesis, means a flowing together. You know, everything comes together. You know, you have knowledge and wisdom, and it comes together, and you get full understanding. That, so that, you know, for this cause, you know, this is the cause, this is the reason. And that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in what? Every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, and that's so cool because as you do the good works of God, as you speak the word of God, you grow in your understanding and in your knowledge. You know, he just keeps filling you up. Right? We learned that. You receive the engrafted word, you retain the faithful word, is it? And you hold forth the word of truth or the word of life. You know, and as you hold it forth, you know, God keeps filling you up. You know, as we do the works of God, as we speak the word, as we stand for God, he keeps increasing our ability to know and understand and do things. What a great thing, see? And it's being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what it's all about, you know? Why does God equip us and fill us up to do good works? Why does he bless us and prosper us materially so we can bless people? You know, what does it say in Ephesians? It says, not to steal, but to work so that you may have to give, right? To him that needeth. You know, why do we want another word? So that we have answers for our own life, but then we also have answers to help others. You know, and the more we attempt to speak God's word and help others, the more God's going to give us, the more he's going to help us and equip us and show us and work in us. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians. So we're to be fruitful in every good work. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. That could be a tongue twister. Chapter 2, verse 13, it says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Ooh, that's a great thing to know, huh? From the beginning, God chose you to salvation, to wholeness, through or by way of sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to be glorified together with him, right? We're already seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Therefore, because, you know, we've been chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, believe the truth, called by the gospel unto the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And the word traditions, it's the word traditions or things handed down, but in context, it's referring to what? What they were taught, the doctrines, their instruction, and the example that Paul set forth for them. So he says, hold fast and hold, stand fast and hold to the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation or comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. It's cool how the word good work comes up, you know, what it's all about, you know. We're to stand fast on God's word. We're to hold fast to the things that we've been taught. And God will comfort our hearts, and he will establish us in every good word and work. You know what establish means? You're strong. You're not going to get knocked over. You know, if you have a business that's established, it means you're not going out of business tomorrow. It means you're there year after year after year after year, as long as you do what you're supposed to do, you see. If you're established in anything, it means that you're steadfast, right? You're not moving. You're not moved on things. And that's what it says we are to do. We're to stand fast on that word of God, that God-breathed word, which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, which is instruction in right believing or right living, which the man of God, so that the man of God may be fully perfected, may be totally equipped unto every good work. You know, and that's the abundant life. You know, when we are excelling in living to serve God and his son Jesus Christ and to do the works that he called us to do. You know, it's not to become the world's premier architect or, you know, remember a couple of weeks ago we looked at wisdom and then we looked at Solomon. And as long as Solomon was doing the things of God, it was amazing, right? God blessed him and he had knowledge in all kinds of things and all different stuff. He knew about the trees and the rocks and the minerals and farming and architecture and everything. But then when he got his heart turned away from God, it was gone. He, you know, wasn't there anymore. It wasn't the same. So that's why we're born again, you know. We're born again so that we can have that close, personal, intimate relationship with God. And he equips us unto good works. He equips us so that we can do his will, so that we can live for him and glorify him and his son, Jesus Christ. And when we are doing the good works, that's when we're going to really see God work in our lives. When we're endeavoring to do what God would have us to do, that's when we see, you know, great things happen. So that's what I wanted to share tonight.